The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
It's not hard. Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. If you link those three words, it's not hard, to the ending of the previous podcast, you will have the answer key to the age-old question. How do you spot the blind man on the nudist beach? You've done that, Kingy.
That's very good. What? That might be maybe. You've done a lot of funny stuff in 20 years on air. That's sharp, not bad from you.
That is sharp.
How long have you been thinking about that?
I actually just thought of that about 23 seconds ago. I thought, what can I start with? Rather than I've got the signal, because I've been flogging that one like Darren Biedman flogged Lonro to an inch of its life to win the Australia Cup. So I just thought that was quite fitting.
That's not bad from you.
That is good, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't like giving you too much credit.
Cats were good too, weren't they? They lost, but they were good. It was a cracking game.
It was a great game of footy. 84th. If somebody had said to me at, what, we bounced at 3:15. Somebody had said to me at 10 to 3, there'll be 84,000 people. They go, no, they won't.
Well, somebody said to me at like 12:30 when we were driving up.
Yeah.
When it was raining sideways.
We thought there'd struggle to be 70.
It was dark as a hippie's armpit.
Yeah.
You were thinking, there's people going to be not going. But the seas parted, didn't they? And the weather was absolutely magnificent.
Okay. And it was perfect for footy.
Yeah, it was. And the Cats, I reckon it was a typical classic in round four.
Yeah.
There was a lot of mistakes.
Yeah,
from both sides. Well, there was a lot of unforced errors as well.
I think it's teams still adjusting. The game's quicker.
Yeah.
And I think it's teams still adjusting. And I think there's a little bit of – some of those errors were made out of blokes going second-guessing themselves with the pressure they were under. I suspect they were thinking, hang on, I've got to get rid of this, or I've got to do something quickly when I gather this footy, which then results in fumbling or poor disposal because the game has got quicker.
Yep, possibly. That is a other thing is they're just shit kicks.
Yeah. Oh, but I'm just talking about, I'm probably talking more about the fumbling.
Yeah, there was. I didn't notice the fumbling so much. I just noted some skill execution was pretty ordinary. That was both Hawthorn and Geelong.
Did we not go hard enough on Lawson Humphreys after the game? We had him on and we probably didn't grill
it's
him.
It's difficult. He's a young player.
Yeah.
He's played 40 games.
He spoke well.
He did. I mean, look, it's easy to sit in the cheap seats and say, you know, what are we going to ask him? Why'd you cock it up?
Yeah.
And he's going to go, oh, because I meant to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to, because I was actually trying to help
him. But I'm talking about, probably, we didn't ask him about whether he, not responsibility is probably not the right word, but did he let himself down a couple of times?
Yeah, with his and he would have been the first to admit that.
Yeah, you probably, and he's going to go, yeah, probably did. What about Sean Mannering?
Did you get some feedback that we didn't ask him that?
No. Oh. No, I just reflected on it and gone, maybe. Maybe.
It's a difficult situation. I understand people would love to ask that. He is a young player who played pretty well. He made some mistakes when the game was on the line. But were they the mistakes that killed the Cats, or were there was the mistakes earlier in the game? Jack Bowes, I know he kicked two goals, but he had one kick because he can't kick on his left foot at all. It does my head in that a top 10 draft pick cannot kick on his left foot, nor can he handball with his left hand.
But it's not on his Pat Malone there.
It's farcical, absolutely farcical. But he munged one because he tried to kick it down the outside of his boot, running down the broadcast wing. He tried to kick it inboard off his right shoe, and he cocked it up, kicked it straight in the opposition, they got a goal. So is that the mistake that kills you?
It's accumulation.
Yeah. I thought Lawson Humphreys played well for three quarters. He had a bad last quarter when the game was on the line, so we tend to focus on that. I reckon he's had a pretty good start to the year, though.
Yep.
I was thinking, Kingy, too.
Can I just say Sean Manor spoke to the Addy.
And he said, I just stunk. Okay. I had a stink bomb.
I didn't deserve to be out there.
Yeah. Well, and good on him.
You got to love, what does Neildy say? Self-awareness.
Yeah. Have you had any of that?
No. Just awareness.
All right. Just hamstring awareness. Yeah. Have you? Calf.
I've got to go in for an MRI on my Achilles next week.
Do you?
On the Achilles, yeah.
Why? What's happened to it?
No, it's just, it's lingering. It's a bit of lingering tightness.
Right. I've never had that, Kingy. I love things to linger. Don't know about me tightness. That's one of the things I don't want to linger is tightness.
Marianne says you've lingered for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I've lingered longer Lucy. Don't worry about that. There used to be a horse called that. Linger longer Lucy. Anyway, we're digressing, Kingy. I was going to say that you gave me a great segue there with Sean Manor. Yeah. I thought there were a number of Cats who didn't play that well.
No.
He was obviously one of them, probably at the top of the tree. We've become accustomed to Shawnee Manor getting 15 possessions, kicking a couple of goals, you know, being a bit of a spark at times, being a playmaker, a creator. He didn't do any of that. And that's footy. I mean, you play enough footy, you're going to have games when you stink it up. I thought
Tom Atkins?
Tom Atkins had one kick and three tackles. He had a game that was below his best, probably went a little bit head-to-head with Newcomb, who probably didn't have his best game for Hawthorn, in fairness.
So his 12 disposals were the least he's had in a game since the first game of last year against Freo, but on that day he had 12 tackles, whereas he only had three tackles.
Yeah, only three tackles. He was below what you would expect from Tommy Atkins. Effort still great, just didn't fall his way. I thought Ollie Dempsey was quiet. Jeremy Cameron was quiet. I mean, most of his possessions are on the wing or backward of the wing.
He had 16 disposals.
Yeah, I reckon he had 13 of them backward of the wing or on the wing. How many? We kicked one goal too.
He actually only had 7 teammates have more disposals than in Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, he didn't do much. Don't let disposals.
I know,
there.
I'm just giving
He had to
you
come
context.
Up the ground to get a kick. Yep. I've seen it written a few times why our Coleman medalist is playing as a wingman. Mm. Is that what you want? I mean, like, I'm happy for it to happen for a couple of minutes, maybe for a spark or something a bit different, but he seemed to spend a lot of time up there because he couldn't get a kick up forward. Barras and the like had him absolutely covered. Grime Miner's first half was pretty ordinary. Mm. Played better in the second half. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, Bose kicked those two goals, didn't do much else. Jack Martin had 11 possessions. He had five of those in the first quarter and then six for the rest of the game. He was in witness protection.
Brad Close.
After quarter time. Well, can you... why was Brad Close back in the team? I can't understand it. They sent him out of the team off Scheisenhausen form.
Hmm.
Like, absolutely Scheisenhausen. And he goes into the VFL and he's Scheisenhausen. And then he comes back into the AFL.
And guess what?
And what would you expect him to be?
Scheisenhausen.
And he was. Yeah. He lived up to what the exact expectation you would have.
Yep.
And then, I'm just trying to go through the list. Who else is on there, Kingy, that didn't perhaps perform up to what you would expect? Jack Henry didn't have his best day.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Mark Blitzarv's had a great day.
No, he didn't have a great day. But Jack Henry has been a really good player for the Cats, so I'm not picking holes here, but he didn't have his best game, Jack Henry.
Like, but then Wiltshire and Martin, they flitted in and out.
Well, Wiltshire was okay. He's a young player. Martin, as I said, he couldn't get near it after quarter time. He was hopeless. So there was a lot of players there who were down on their best. Now, Hawthorn would go through their list and say the same thing. Mm. I did see some vision, Kingy. Like, what are our thoughts? It's starting to do my head in. So Jimmy Bartel talks about that one of the great Achilles heels for the Cats is the inability to stop small forwards.
Yep.
So did you see the vision of Mullen playing on Watson?
No, I haven't.
When
seen
Watson
that.
Took the mark, he flew across the front of the pack and took the mark, and then went back and kicked a goal. I forget what. I think it might have been in the. Was it in the second quarter or was it in the last quarter? They were kicking towards the
punt road.
Yeah.
Yep. He kicked one at the 15-minute mark and he kicked one at the 25-minute mark of the last. Was one of those
One of them must have been the one in not the, so he kicked the two snaps, one on the left foot, one on the right foot.
Oh, the one on the left.
That was a beauty. The one on the right was a good one too. Yeah. But the one he came and took a mark. You don't associate him with taking a mark. I saw some vision of that associated with the Cats' inability to stop small forwards, and it was Mullen playing on Watson. Now, I couldn't understand what Mullen was doing.
Buse has got to be the better option there, doesn't he? Just on Busey, concussed in the VFL last week. So
they don't play this week, though, do they?
But if he had been a chance to have been, if we suspect there's going to be significant changes to the Geelong team for Sunday, you thought he might have been in the mix to play this week.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
So if he passes all the protocols, he will be right to play. So the VFL or the curtain raiser to the AFL next Friday, the Bulldogs game, they're playing Footscray in the VFL. If he gets through all the protocols, he'll be right to play that afternoon/evening.
Yeah.
But, yeah, can't play this week, obviously.
There's no way known he's playing against the Bulldogs. He's magnet. I don't know that the Cats have... He's magnetically fell off the board and it's gone under someone's desk and they can't find it. He is not playing for the Cats anytime soon. Why he's still at the club, I have absolutely... Not from his perspective, but why the club wanted him back for another year...
Would he have got to another club?
Well, we'll never know that, and he'll never know because he's at the Cats and he's not playing.
Yeah, because if there was,
you know what'll happen? He'll play round 18 against Richmond and play okay, and then they'll drop him back out again, and Fred Wooler will come in. Like, I don't think Fred Wooler. Do you think he'd come in? Can you?
Still with us, Fred?
Is he? Yep. That's why I knew he'd come in.
Cap, he's, cap, he's,
and he's been training the house down. He's had a bit of tightness.
Captain of the 63 premiership team.
Yeah, good old Freddie. We need a Freddie in the team. You got to have a Freddie. We need a Fred. So we don't have one. That's probably part of our problem. So anyway, Mullen is playing. Anyway, the one vision I saw was horrible for Mullen. He was in absolute no man's land of his own doing. He refused to get near Watson, who just ran amok. He played all right early, Mullen, in terms of getting a bit of the ball. He faded right out of the game.
He has started to find a little bit
a little bit. But his job on playing on Watson is to stop him kicking goals, and he didn't. Watson kicked three in a low scoring in a tight game.
Yep.
That's killer. He only had six kicks.
Yeah.
He was good on Rankin the week before. I'm happy to say the jury's out on Mullen. He's not an elite user. He's getting goals kicked on him. I don't know. Are we too? The other point someone made to me was: are we too big in defence? Are we too tall? Henry, O'Sullivan, De Koning, Stewart are all 190 plus.
Mm.
Zach Guthrie's probably 188.
Mm-hmm.
Lawson Humphreys is probably the playmaker at 186.
Yep.
Are we too tall and lack run? And the run isn't being provided from O'Sheen Mullen, even though he can run. He just doesn't find the ball enough.
Yep. So do you need Busey back to play lockdown and allow others to be able to provide that run?
Well, that's what they want Mullen to do. And he did it. Okay against Rankin, and then he's allowed three goals.
Humphreys isn't as tall as you think.
What's he?
182.
Is he?
Yep.
Only 182. Okay, so he's a shorter player. I mean, it was just food for thought. Are we a bit tall in defence, and are we a little bit cumbersome?
Yeah, but you've got some athletic.
Jack Henry's not really a rebounding player.
O'Sullivan's athletic.
He's athletic. Stewart's athletic.
Yeah.
Guthrie's pretty athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that sort of impy.
Yep.
Type Carl Amon, who didn't play for the Hawks.
Tuck it under the arm and go, the old 75-metre player, run 15.
Stewart Guthrie, they're not that.
No.
They're good intercept players in the air.
Zach Guthrie can be that. It just hasn't been this year.
He was better against the Hawks.
Yeah.
That was his best game of the year.
Well, it wouldn't have been hard.
No, he'd been a little bit witness protection. But anyway, I'm interested to see what they do with – whether Mullen, they're going to keep playing Mullen, I'm 100% sure of that. What happens, Jack Martin, do they keep playing him? He was good the week before, he was good early, he looked on fire early, and then I didn't see him after.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. So Chris Scott said at his media conference before Sunday that it was a squad mentality for the next few weeks because of the short break. So they are...
There could be mass changes this week.
Yeah, there will be.
Do you think Warple comes in?
Yep.
Do you think that Collard Jasny comes in?
Yep.
Do you think that Jai Clark comes in?
I suspect.
Do you think Stanley comes in?
Potentially.
So that'd be four?
Yep.
Do you think they'd be reticent to make any more than four?
I think four pulls you up.
So that means Stewart's coming out?
Yep.
Blitzarves is coming out?
Yep.
Mitch Edwards is coming out?
Yeah, would have thought.
And who'd be the fourth one?
Wiltshire?
Possibly, although he's a younger running type player, perhaps they want to keep him in. Norwood Oval is quite narrow.
It is. It's very GMHBA.
It is very GMHBA sort of style. So maybe they take Wiltshire out. Possibly. Do they rest a Martin?
Potentially.
And then the following week,
maybe it's more Martin than Wiltshire.
Possibly.
Yep.
I mean, they do have. Yeah. In saying that, though, then you're taking out another running player. They're left with who have they got as your. I mean, Brad Close, does he come out again? He just gets dropped, doesn't he?
No, well, I think he just plays again and then you reassess going into the Bulldogs.
Can you just keep banging your head against the wall and expect something different, though? He's been horrific. I don't know what's happened to Brad Close. Too much golf.
So Blitzarves, we suspect, is not playing because there's been nothing on Geelong's socials or website. You know, by Thursday, even of a Sunday game, you would expect a player playing his 300th game. That they've done something.
Yeah, he's definitely not playing.
Yeah, wheeled out in front of the media, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So he's out.
So,
That would set up the 300 against the Doggies.
Correct.
Friday night.
Yeah, and then Collar.
Is that Friday night?
Yes. Yeah. Collar will play his 199th if he plays Sunday.
Yeah, so it'd be really interesting to see how he goes. I mean,
because then it's a 5-day turnaround. So it's just, yeah, look, there's a lot of, you know, for want of a better phrase, balls in the air for the Cats that they've got to deal with. Why do you, I say balls in your eyebrows, you just raise your eyebrows. And I use it in a non-blue terminology, and you make it blue just by raising,
I didn't make it blue.
You do by just raising your eyebrows. How old are you?
No,
you're 54 years old, Ben.
But the thing, the funny
Ben,
thing is,
King, you're 54, not 14.
The thing about that, though, King, is I was just thinking of the spot you love your balls to be in. I don't know you want them in the air, do you?
Right.
Why are you laughing? How old are you? You're laughing. Yeah, so you're laughing.
Because you're an idiot.
But you're laughing. How old are you? I'm not laughing. I'm keeping a very straight face as we talk about balls.
I'm
balls.
Laughing at you.
You're laughing with me because you know that it's humorous. It's like
I'm not admitting
that. No, the ancient art of windbreaking is always, will always remain funny, won't it? Whether you're 7 or whether you're 77, the ill-timed passing of wind is always will remain humorous.
And it's more ill-timed at 77 than it is at 7.
That's when you need a little bit of extra protection in the old Murray Ranch, just in case there is a big divot taken, isn't it? In case you carve one out with the 8-iron. But anyway.
Now, the Eagles were terrible.
So you're laughing at all this and you're having a go at me.
The Eagles were terrible on Saturday night.
They were absolutely horrendous.
Where was the West Coast team from the previous week against Port Adelaide?
Yeah, look, they'll hit back. I don't know how hard they'll hit back, but they will certainly be better than they were against Sydney. That was...
I couldn't be any worse.
Was it 100 points at three-quarter time?
Yeah, best part of.
That was you don't often see that at AFL level, given they had won two games previous.
Yeah, they were, it's not like they were coming in 0-3.
So they beat North and then they beat Port Adelaide. In Adelaide.
Yeah.
God, how bad a Port. Yeah, they'll be better. I mean, Geelong should be rolling over the West Coast Eagles, you would have thought, in the fashion, at what
Geelong
fashion they
have,
do it.
Geelong have struggled with the Eagles. I think going over there, was it last year or the year before?
Oh, they won by five or six goals.
But they were only a goal down at, goal up at halftime. I think
at Norwood Oval, they should win comfortably.
Yep.
You'd be expecting an 8-9 goal win,
yep.
I would have thought.
Yep. Go over there, get the 4 points and get back.
And you'd just like to see some players. The key will be the players who perhaps were down against the Hawks, finding a little bit of form, I suppose, like Manor would be one. Ollie Dempsey, just some of those. You'd love to see some of the younger players against an inexperienced opposition find their feet a little bit, sort of lead the way rather than be relying on others. We've spoken about this before, Kingy, but do you think... I get frustrated, right, because we're thin in the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand who thinks we're not.
No.
So why are we playing Tanner Bruin in defence?
Yeah.
When we're thin in the midfield. We drop Jai Clark out off of, I'm not Jai Clark's number one fan, but drop him out off a great one quarter. He's a contested winner, contested ball winner. We're short in the midfield, and we're playing probably our third best midfielder for stints in defence in defence.
I can't answer that. Maybe you can ask James Riley on...
Oh, that's some absolute bullshit answer that, be like a word salad that will just tell you absolutely nothing. Have you ever had a word salad?
No.
No.
Have you seen my rig? I don't eat a lot of salad.
You don't make too many friends with salad, either.
No, thank you.
You need a puppy. You've got to make friends, get a puppy, can you? You've got to make nice friends. And you go to the park with your puppy.
To quote The Simpsons, you don't win friends with salad.
No, you don't. Also, to quote The Simpsons, when they were at the pub.
Which one?
At Moe's
Tavern.
Yeah.
Sorry, you watched, but which there's a lot of great lines come out of Moe's Tavern.
When Moe said it, hands up the designated drivers, and they put their hands up, and he goes, "Get out, we don't want freeloaders." So he wasn't happy with the designated drivers being at the tavern because they weren't going to be refreshing.
Would you like some questions?
Oh, Kingy, I just asked you one, and I'd love to get some feedback on just from our listeners on what they think about Bruin. When we are, I'm all for Bruin playing in defence, but if we've got a million midfielders, but we don't, we're short in the midfield. Yep. We get overrun in the midfield, and Bruin isn't a defender. He's not a natural defender. It's not his natural game.
No.
So why are we playing him there to give us some rebound? Do you think he's good at that?
He's probably the best ball user.
But haven't we, we've mentioned this before though, but haven't we got Stewart, haven't we got Guthrie, both elite ball users? Haven't we got Lawson Humphreys, an elite ball user. We've got three elite ball users, yet we're playing a bloke who's jumping up the ranks as in our midfield ranks, playing in defence when we're short in the midfield. I cannot understand it for the life of me. And Hawthorn at midfield, even without Will Day in it, got on top at times on Monday. They were on top. They've got names blokes you haven't heard of. Ward had it 400 times in the first half. Connor McDonald gets it a million times. Newcomb had it a few times. They've got names you haven't, but they're all playing midfield. That's their position. We're trying to throw blokes around. Why not just play a bloke where he is best suited? What about that for just a week and just see what happens?
One positive was Mitch Edwards' performance. As much as Reeves and Meek, you know, dominated, getting hands on footy, etc. But you got to like what you saw from Edwards. He competes.
He does compete. He's he was good. Some of his little follow up work after the ruck was good.
Finally took a mark.
He took the mark. That was the only time he looked like marking, though. The one time in three games, he's looked like marking the ball once. Really need to see more him getting under the ball to mark it. That's what we need from him. But yeah, look, there was some good signs. He plays with a bit of physicality. Couple of his sort of handballs in close weren't bad. I mean, I know they missed the mark, but he had the right idea. There's plenty to work with there. And the one thing you do like is that he has athleticism for his size, and his size when he's a fully grown man, Kenny, he's going to be a pretty big unit. Yeah. So do you reckon Toby Conway, Loch Ness, is just sitting at home thinking, geez, I need to get moving here because this bloke is going past me.
And giving him?
Like she's an alibi did to that Doncaster field last Saturday.
Winburn.
Absolute Winburn. That was extraordinary. If you haven't seen an athlete in action, go and have a look at that race. That was unbelievable.
What about Sha'Carri Richardson and the Stall Gift?
Oh, yeah, with her big nails. One of her nails, did you hear what happened? One of her nails blew off.
Did it?
Yeah, and flew into the face of the girl next to her.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, she's in hospital.
You're an idiot.
You believe that for a second, didn't you?
I can't believe the stupidity that you sometimes bring.
But your face, you were like, you thought we were onto an exclusive.
No, I thought that the nail coming off is probably a legitimate thing into somebody's face, obviously.
What about what they did to get her there? She was staying at Crown. She got a helicopter there.
Oh, wow.
She got paid.
She got the $40K for winning.
She got the $40K for winning. So I think she stayed at Crown. She had a helicopter there. She had all sorts of other perks to get there.
Yeah.
I wonder whether it increase the number of sphincters on seats or not?
Not sure. Can I put some questions to you?
Did you know we're not allowed? Yes, King.
Yes, go on. No, don't go on. Adrian Mancini, King and Cass thought going into Monday we had a slight advantage in the midfield, but they probably won that. Would love to see Tanner Bruin in there more going forward. No. He's likely to go in there more frequently as the season progresses.
Absolutely.
Following on from another point you made, the Cats lack a lockdown small defender, although Mullen is improving by the week. If Buse can't get a game, and I'm not sure why, who else do we have? Our back line is too big. Have you been going through these?
No.
No, but these are all points you've raised.
Oh, no, I didn't. We bring up the Bruin one every week. It just does my head in.
Mick Howley, how is an episode of the podcast organised? I like to think Kingy turns on the light like Commissioner Gordon with the bat signal, then Benny appears out of the shadows, maybe clad in leather like Batman, but slightly different.
Well, if Michelle Pfeiffer was dressed in the Catwoman suit, I could appear from anywhere, Kingy.
No, it's a very simple, Ben, what time are you available this week? And what time is the studio available? And we record.
I walk in here around the waterfront and just to sort of clear the old cranium, clear the grey matter, which takes a while. I have to walk around there for about 4 hours. And then I come in here, Kingy, and just the preparation that goes into this. I don't think people would understand how much preparation goes into this.
None. Damien
Tedesco. Kingy, I wouldn't have given that away as easily as you did there.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
What a game. Can't win them all. Good fight to the end. Thought the media should have given us a bit more credit.
Possibly. We tend to focus a little bit on the negative, and you focus on the people throwing stones at you after your team loses. I mean, the spoils always go to the team that's won. Geelong have been on the right end of that for quite some time. If you're looking at it objectively, you'd probably say we've been on the wrong end of the right end of that. We weren't on the wrong end of it. Do we? Yeah. I mean, I would have thought the media are always going to laud the winner.
Yeah.
and there's a kick in it, or less than a kick, so it could have gone either way.
Yeah, well, game goes...
It would have been a big win for the Cats to go 3-1.
Yep.
Jeez, it would have been huge.
But they didn't.
No, they didn't.
So here we are. Medicus, I feel that having no Dangerfield in the forward line has made Ollie Henry more competitive.
Well, there's no surprise there, Skinny. No, we've said that.
And it changed him last year. Does Danger's presence inhibit Ollie's output? What are your thoughts?
I think it does. I think it does. It's he and we've mentioned this before on the Kerr's Higher Cat Attack podcast, that the advent of Dangerfield is pretty much a permanent forward, and Martin also playing as a permanent forward has impacted Ollie Henry. Now, Dangerfield goes out, Ollie Henry's been okay. I mean, he hasn't set the world on fire, but he's been okay. Kicked 3 goals. I mean, if the thing about it is, King, I heard some people, one guy saying, oh, Ollie Henry was crap and this and that. And then in the next breath, he's saying, oh, you know, Watson was, how good was Watson? He kicked 3 of their goals. Well, Henry kicked 3 of Geelong's goals.
Yep.
They've lost by a point. So, I think he had more possessions than Watson.
Henry had 7. Not, Watson had 13.
So 7, he only had 7.
Yep.
He kicked 3 goals.
Yep.
Anyway, if you...
Shannon Neal only had 6 and kicked 4.
Yeah, if you're playing as a mid-sized forward and you can contribute 3 goals, you've done your job, yeah. Because we were lauding Jack Martin the week before. He kicked 3 in the win over Adelaide. So, but yeah, I just hope that... Ollie Henry's not going anywhere, okay? So, well, you'd hope not.
No.
He's going to want to play alongside his brother. But when Dangerfield is gone, which could be the end of this year, Martin is one hamstring away or one serious injury away from being kaput. You would have thought that this year is possibly his last year.
Yep.
Although, has he got triggers for next year already?
Jack Martin.
Yeah.
He's already hit them, apparently.
For next year.
Yep.
So he'd possibly be around next year. But he is a week-to-week proposition in terms of his injury. Those two gone, Ollie Henry is there as a 24, 25-year-old with... What, close to 100 games under his belt?
And Shannon Neal alongside him.
Yeah. It's just a perfect mix. Right now he's having a few struggles, albeit Monday was good, 3 goals. But just he's the future of that sort of mid-sized 40-goal forward.
Yeah. Nuff from Cario.
Nuff. He loves it.
The blood really went down south when Big Junk took a big clunk. And how about Unreal Neal? Plenty of things to like, plenty of things to work on, just like Ben's questions to Bucks. You could put a little whack.
Wasn't
for enough.
Happy there.
No, Ben was on his best behaviour, as if he was around Monsignor Murray.
Well, I was never around Monsignor Murray. I was more of a Father Fitzpatrick man from St Bernard's.
Right, St Bernard's used to be at the Aldi.
Yeah, there's an Aldi there right now. I used to pray there, King.
Yep,
and
now you get your egg and bacon roll from the Rotary Boys on a Saturday morning.
Yes. Yeah, so I what was wrong with my questions to Bucks? I asked him some hard-hitting sort of 60-minute style stuff.
What about Neildy asking him about if he's found a coffee shop and stuff? Well, that's not Neildy areas.
No, he was getting all funky, wasn't he, Neildy, about the coffee shop? And then he told us he was down in Torquay, and he's found a few ranches down there in Torquay as Bucks that he frequents. So I thought, in fairness enough, that I was pretty much sort of, you know, Ian Gillespie sort of style. Was it?
Who?
60 Minutes. Was it Ian Gillespie?
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Thought I wasn't too bad. Nuff obviously wasn't happy. And well, next time, Nuff, what we'll do is, we'll if you get the hotline and you give me the questions that I should be asking.
0456 955 955.
Yeah, and put your name to it
and
say, I want you to ask this, and I will say, Nathan, Nuff from Cario wants to know X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, if you you can get involved. It's instant response. 0456 955 955. Tell us your name, first name, and suburb, so we can, you know.
Well, what we should do, Kingy, is, and if you've got legitimate questions and you're listening on a game day, get through on the text line and tell us what we can ask those questions. We can say, you know, Frank from Gippsland wants to know if Jed Buse will ever play again.
Yep.
So we can do that. We have the ability to do that. You just need to make sure you give us your name. And what is that number, Kingy?
0456. 955.
955.
Oh, thank you.
I got the last 6 numbers, all right.
Yeah, good. That's the KFCX off the Big Footy Forum, the Cat Attack Podcast Big Footy Forum. The Kulyreitis fan.
Yeah.
This
Paul Kulyreitis wore the 36, I think.
Yep. This is before, he wore it after Ben Graham went to seven.
Yeah.
G'day, King and Benny. I'm a big believer in Jai Clark and disagree with Benny. I think he's shown some elite traits by hand, foot and marking.
No.
Could be a real player for us. Just think he needs his body to mature until he's 23/24, similar to Atkins or Zach Guthrie. I was super excited by Ollie Dempsey when he was drafted, but I also remember Charlie Gardner do some scintillating play and have me believing he was their next big forward. There was also Marcus Baldwin with 3 goals from his first 3 kicks. But my worst call would have to be writing off Tom Lonergan, who turned into a brilliant defender. Got me thinking, who are the players you thought would be stars and never went on, and who do you write off early only for them to become excellent players? Keep up the good work and go Cats.
Yeah, well, is that all fair and love and war?
Yeah.
So he thinks Clark's got a bit of going on.
Yeah.
I think he's got a bit going on. Nothing that would suggest to me that it's a top 10 going on.
Yeah. Zach Guthrie, I think we'll all put our
hand up. Yeah, we all put our hand up and thought he was going to be in the Oz Kick team.
Yeah.
And he ended up being in the Best and Fairest team.
Yeah.
So, yes, he has developed himself into a really, really good player.
I thought George Hall and Smith was actually going to... Sorry, not George Hall and
too
Smith.
Too slow.
Thought George Burberry was going to be a good player for the Cats.
And he wasn't.
No. But was he the one that got his jaw accidentally broken by Nick Maxwell in a pre-season game?
Oh, Kingy, I'd be more chance.
And I don't reckon he was ever the same.
Methuselah
deal. Yeah. I just thought George Burberry had some traits that were going to turn him into it.
And he didn't.
No.
And you've got Polkinghorne pitted down to have one of the greatest careers in the history of the
and
Cats.
And the thing is, Polkinghorne's got a very similar body shape to George Burberry too.
Bit like Ryan
bit
Gamble
taller, mate.
Vegas, sort of, you know, a bit sort of like ride your horse in style, but sort of swiveled at the hips.
Yeah.
Did you know that the boys call Jack Henry the lizard?
Because
they think that he runs a bit like the lizard from Sydney, Blakey.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So they think there's a bit of Liz about, what sort of lizard would you be if you were a lizard?
Oh, frill-necked.
Why is that?
I don't know. It just made first lizard I thought of. It's either frill-necked or blue tongue. They're the only two I know. Howl of 41.
I'd be a bung arrow.
Right.
And you know, they're just big loafs of things that just slumber in the sun.
Right.
And then they've got shit eyesight.
Right.
And if you scare one and you're the tallest thing it can see, it'll run up you.
Right.
And these things are not, like, you don't have them in your...
Yeah, they're not pets.
They're like a metre and a half long.
Right. Howl of 41.
They're called bung arrows. Right. They're in... Do you want to know where they are, King? I've got a little history lesson here.
No.
They're in Western Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on a mine site and I was shit scared of the things.
Right.
Because they couldn't see you and you couldn't see things. They blend in with the dirt.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, this thing would be prehistoric monster would be chasing after you.
Howl of 41. A bit of pill to swallow, but some consolation knowing win or lose, we hate Hawthorn. Some Cat fans' reactions have been over top. Lawson was still one of the Cats' best. A couple of late turnovers shouldn't change that. If we want to be critical, I'd be aiming at Atkins and Manor, both quiet and both will be back to their best this week.
Yep.
Junk Edwards showed glimpses and his first AFL mark was a ripper. Ollie Henry bodywork on Hardwick to get ball and set up the steak knives in Wiltshire was something I hadn't seen from him before. With a couple of short breaks coming up, you'd think potentially a few changes versus Eagles this week. We'd like to see Clark get a crack in the middle.
Yeah,
this is the week. If you're going to give Clark a proper crack in the middle, bring him back and do it.
Yes, I agree. I'm not sure why he was out this week or last week, but he was, and I 100% agree with all that, Kingy, all of it.
The Ranger, a couple of things from me. Firstly, despite the loss, I think you agree there were some good signs with the performances of Edwards, Ollie Henry, SDK. Wiltshire, I still have some concerns about skill errors. They are too common, and I think a large part of the poor grand final. We always seem to have excuses, slippery conditions, early season, rather than addressing the elephant in the room. Secondly, do you think more discussion will come from the umpires not throwing up the ball straight in centre bounces? With the new rule jumping from behind the line, there's a huge advantage if the throw isn't straight. It's what helped Reeves to tap to Newcomb in the quick clearance in their last goal. I'm not complaining, just interested if much has been spoken about this. I know the umpires at lower levels are aware, state elite umpires, and it has been addressed at length in their meetings to their credit. It's bound to happen. They aren't perfect. I like the rule change, but I think this will often occur in the games. He actually sent a couple of
what do you think,
screenshots. Oh, I haven't paid any attention to it, to be honest. But there is, if that ball up isn't straight and they're coming from and they have to jump from behind the line, the way the ball goes, if it's not straight, is going to be that ruck's going to be favoured.
Yeah.
Unlike whereas previously, when you were able to cross the line and jump, if it was skew, if it actually favoured the ruck that the ball didn't go near because they had the momentum, the other ruck was a sitting duck.
I'm happy for the throw up.
Yeah, yeah, we know that.
I love it.
Yeah,
it gives you a chance to set up, to set up your midfield.
Yeah.
And then actually work on it, and then have a plan. And we saw Hawthorn execute it really well. The ball up goes all over the place. It's a waste of time setting up because the ball goes north, south, east and west. You know where it's going to go. If you're backing in your ruckman or you're not backing in your ruckman, you can set up accordingly. If you've got Jai Clark rucking against Mason Cox, fair chance Mason Cox is going to get the ruck. So you probably have to set up differently than if you've got Mitch Edwards rucking against Nick Watson.
Yep.
So I actually, I cannot understand anybody who thinks the bounce was good for footy. We go through all this bullshit of, you know, organising the process and the structure and all this rubbish, which goes straight out the window the instant the ball bounces and it goes, heads off to the Lara.
Hmm.
Players get injured doing that. And how many times are the, and then they have to call it back. It was absolute rubbish. It was farcical. I'm happy for the ball to be thrown up. If you're good enough in the ruck and you've got good setup around there, depending upon how you feel, the ruck is going to go for you in the particular time, great, because I think it can be a huge advantage, and it's going to disadvantage the Cats to a degree. That's probably why they've got Edwards in there, because he can at least nullify. That's going to be Blitzarves' problem. If he's up against like a Reeves, he doesn't have the size. Reeves can probably then start to tap in a certain direction, and it becomes a real problem for Geelong. That wasn't a problem before because the bounce would go anywhere. Yeah.
Daz Broncos, glad the text line is working for us internationals and got the Sunset Strip bar hopping plan all lined up for the GWS Cats game here in 2029 if we haven't been turned into glass by a madman in the White House. But I digress. That's if we were talking about the Giants have floated potentially a game overseas, LA potentially, or somewhere in Orange County or something along those lines. And Daz Broncos obviously living over there, happy to host us. Thought the errors and poor skills really hurt us versus the Hawks. I hate losing, especially to them, but what a game. Clearly the best rivalry in the game every time. It's a cracker. Mitch Edwards liked his VFL stuff last year. He's carried that through to the AFL team. His follow-up work has been excellent. Real Luke Jackson type potential showed in early days.
For who?
The big fella Edwards.
Luke Jackson?
Mm.
I think you need to have a Bex and a lie down. Like, I'm happy for Mitch Edwards, but he's not in Luke Jackson sort of areas. He doesn't play the same style of game. Luke Jackson is like a giant ruck rover. Mitch Edwards isn't going to be a giant ruck rover. He is going to be a giant ruckman.
Yep.
But he won't have, I'll be holding a candle in terms of around the ground stuff that Luke Jackson's got. So happy for Edwards to develop, but I wouldn't be, I'd be sort of, I think the racing expression for that. Who made that call?
Daz.
He's a bit more sensible than that. He's over-racing it, Daz.
Daz is talking about Killian Burke.
He's got movement downstairs about Killian Burke. Yep.
He says, go back and watch the VFL highlights versus Werribee. So the VFL boys are 3-0. Foxdog 50, quick one. Is there a reason seem to treat like a part-time midfielder? Feels like they roll at the same three blokes in the guts every week like it's a loyalty program. I think he means Bruin. While teams are just spinning the wheel and giving everyone a crack like Brisbane, as they do have heaps of midfield depth, is Bruin actually getting decent midfield minutes, or am I just missing it on TV? No, he's not getting decent midfield minutes.
No. He's not.
No. I'm sure you will discuss on Brad Close has been poor the past 2 years. Like to hear the word he's been dropped instead of managed, as he's missed part of pre-season. He actually didn't miss, from what I can understand, he didn't miss any of pre-season.
No, he's just not playing well. He's not finding it. And look, it's probably, it's another one there that's the byproduct of Dangerfield, Martin spending more time in the middle. Mm. Also the improvement of Manor. And then, you know, Ollie Henry fighting for a spot. You've got Stengel, who's not there at the moment. You've got Myers. You've got Dempsey. I know they probably, Dempsey plays up the ground a little bit, but it's a tough spot. And he's just not pulling his weight. He's not providing you with anything. He's not defensive. I mean, he had a job. I'm pretty sure if you watch the replay, he had a job on Impey. Well, Impey, he was okay in the first half if he was on a defensive role. Second half, Impey got right off the chain and was key. So not only then is he providing you nothing offensively, but he's providing you with nothing defensively. So, I'd say he's got to go.
Cats. What's the deal with getting Warple from the Hawks and playing him in the VFL? Can't be due to a finger infection, surely. Now, the thing that has snuck under the radar, Andrew Mackey did tell us, he actually spent time in hospital with that finger infection. So you've got to wonder what impact that actually has had, if he's had spent some time potentially
fingers, Kingy, you don't want the digit to be injured, do you?
No.
Because I know the injury, the finger injury to Grime Myers caused him quite a bit of consternation, which he's taken some time to overcome.
Yep. Well, there was some thought that Grime Myers wouldn't get to the start line in terms of this year, and he's actually done well to play the four games.
So I've got no doubt Warple will still be part of the midfield. Yep. I'd love to see it's Smith and Holmes leading the way. You've got Atkins, Warple, Bruin.
Yep.
as the next level down, and then you're floating in
Dempsey Myers
as wingmen who sort of help out the midfield.
Occasionally Dangerfield for a pinch hit.
Possibly if things aren't going well, you could throw him in there Manor. As well. Manor is the other one who can come up play in the midfield. I think that if that is your sort of set type midfield, I think that can be really competitive. It's just when you start, you know, and can Jai Clark get in there as well? He's a backup. He's an option if someone gets injured, which is probably likely. So you've got a reasonable complement there. We've spoken about this before. Are they a really creative midfielder short? Yes.
They're a butter short.
Yeah, they're a butter. So, I mean, he's going to make any. But that type of Kasiah Pickett. Now, I'm not saying Geelong, they love Kasiah Pickett, but his ability to
break. He's on 1,000.
We don't have. If you watch Kasiah Pickett play and then watch Max Holmes play,
yeah,
the difference is stark. Kasiah Pickett breaks the game up.
Yeah.
He's quick, but he uses the ball short. He'll use the ball laterally. He'll use the ball long.
And you'll go and get it back.
He's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Max Holmes is a real predictability about the way he plays. Now, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but Geelong don't have that playmaker that breaks the game up because Smith isn't that player either. He tends to just be a hard runner who's predictable. And I'm not bagging those guys. That's what they are, and they're very good at that. But Geelong need that creative sort of igniter in the middle who has the ability to keep the opposition on the back foot because he's so unpredictable in what he might do. He sees things that others don't.
Yep.
Pickett and Butters right now are the two best players in the game doing that.
Yep. This is off. Actually, this was to my personal email from from Ben Parra.
Yeah.
You are the best Cats podcast going around. Listen to every show from Guildford in the UK, just outside of London.
There we go.
Mark O'Connor's 150, a very good effort. Yes. How do you rate the Irish Geelong connection and Mark's achievements? Myself, I've always wished he would back his talent and physicality a bit more, as when he does seem he can rip a game apart.
Well, I thought they missed him a little bit. And look, I haven't always been a humongous Mark O'Connor fan. I thought he had a really good year last year. That last year was probably his best year.
Mm.
He mixed midfield with defence. He was sure-handed. His marking's good. I think he's in their best 23. I know Chris Scott talks about the squad, but I think if you're going sort of nitty-gritty in your best 23, I'd have Mark O'Connor in it as somebody who can maybe mix and match a little bit better than, say, like a Bruin, who's a traditional, on-baller. So his story's been, obviously unbelievable to come out here and do what he's doing. And, the connection with Reg Tuohy, obviously now Mullen. Geelong have always had probably been at the forefront of that sort of Irish connection. I know Shane O'Bree from Collingwood, the Collingwood recruiter now formerly at the Cats. He used to spend a couple of weeks in Ireland with the Collingwood team looking for players there. So, you think O'Connor comes back this week?
Yeah.
See another one we mentioned?
O'Connor?
Yeah.
No, he played. Oh, no, sorry. He's managed. Yeah, he'd be another one, yes.
So we could see five or six changes if they do pull all these changes that we're thinking that they are.
Yep.
But a great story. And as I said, look, I haven't always been his number one fan. I've sort of been critical of him at times, but I reckon his last 18 months he's sort of cemented himself as a really good foot soldier in the team.
Yeah. Damien's also written, wanted to share a last-minute trip in February. I decided to fly over, I think it was January, to Dublin to go to Croke Park for the day to watch Mark O'Connor play in the All-Ireland Club final with Dingle. Never seen a curling game, Gaelic footy game, or been to Croke Park before. Pretty good experience, all club-level stuff, and at heart, I'm a club person. So I fit right in and managed to get in a Guinness round immediately with some locals. Put it on your bucket list. And he's put up a photo of doing a Guinness Tour sporting the Geelong jumper, and a video with the winning moment when Dingle won the game.
So this is Damien.
Yep. Ben.
Parra. So is he an Australian or is he an Englishman?
Yeah. No, you said Damien because I think it wasn't Damien Parra, the very famous war photographer.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yep. I'm going to go with that. That's exactly why I said
it. I think if you're not aware, St Bridges scored an equaliser in the extra minutes of normal time in about 20 seconds, and then Dingle scored the winner right in the final minute of the second half of extra time. So great stuff. Appreciate that feedback from Ben.
Yes, well, glad he listens from over there in Guildford.
Guildford, yep.
Haven't been there, Kingy, but no. Looking forward to getting there.
It's a strong cricket stronghold, Guildford.
I'd imagine. Yeah, it sounds a bit sort of crickety, doesn't it?
It does. We're going to Adelaide.
Are we?
Yep.
We need things to start happening, don't we?
Karaoke.
Soon, early. What?
Karaoke.
No, I don't think we'd be doing karaoke, but we'd certainly need things to start happening, like the guy who married the virgin.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.